doing the Holy Letters of the Rebbe in volume 6. This is letter number 1744. This is dated Aleph Menachem of Tosh Yud Beis, Brooklyn. And the Rebbe is addressing this to the Anholos Tzirei Agudas Chabad, the leadership, the administration of Tzirei Agudas Chabad, the young Chabad organization. Hashem Aleim Yichu Shalom Uvracha. Very interesting how the Rebbe communicates with them, and you can almost say micromanages, which means the Rebbe gives them detailed instructions. They ask the Rebbe questions, and the Rebbe responds, and it's just telling the Rebbe's insight in every single area in which they're asking the Rebbe what to do and the Rebbe's response. So let's go. It's a kind of a lengthy letter, but let's see what the Rebbe writes. First of all, the Rebbe says that he confirms receiving the letter from the 24th day of Tammuz after a lengthy interruption. So the Rebbe says, for sure in the future, you will organize that the writing should take place in a more consistent, in a more regular way, not to wait for my answer in writing, because I am very preoccupied, and even if I don't have the time to answer you in writing, but yet I do try, as far as the contents of your letters, to do whatever I can as soon as possible, even though that I only tell you that I did what you asked or what I could do about it later on. So the Rebbe says, while my writing doesn't come right away, but I'm acting on it immediately on the contents of your letter. Now there's a lot of points over here, but this letter starts with point number 2. Aleph is not here, so we don't know. So now the Rebbe says in number 2, for sure, with the great titles, Moshe, Rav Moshe Shiicha Ashkenazik, provided the copy of the main words that I spoke to the students that were traveling as the Shlichas of the Merkez L'Inyanei Chinuch. Those are the summer months, as the Rebbe brings down, the previous Rebbe instituted that during the summer months every year, the students go out as agents of the Merkez L'Inyanei Chinuch, the umbrella arm for education. They travel to various different cities and towns. Today, you know, things have improved greatly. There's almost a Chabad house in every nick and corner, wherever there is any amount of Jews, anywhere in the United States. Matter of fact, anywhere in the world. But in the United States, that wasn't the case in that time and even after that time. So the only connection with the Yiddishkeit or with Chabad was through these traveling agents, through the Bachrim, the yeshiva students. They would travel and they would bring with them literature, tefillin, mezuzahs, books, holy books, and they would plant seeds for Yiddishkeit, which eventually became the Chabad houses in each and every one of these places. So the Rebbe gave an address, and they wrote it up later on. The headline, the Rebbe sent a copy to the Moshe Shiicha Ashkenazi, and I had told him that it would be fitting to publicize it in a proper way. The Rebbe says, I'm also adding an additional piece, which is taken from a letter, from my letters, so that can come as an addition to that talk. And this addition emphasizes and explains how this is the same for everyone, because it seems like that was specifically geared for the students who was traveling, but the Rebbe is making this more as it fitting for everyone. So therefore, that's the additional piece to bring out that point. Number 3. So here is a very detailed and logical response to what they had in mind to do. They wrote to the Rebbe, I'm responding, they wrote to the Rebbe that they had an idea to make a Fabrengen, a get-together, for Yud Beis Tammuz in the large shul in Tel Aviv. But later on, they had a change of heart, they didn't do it. And the Rebbe says, you know, there is a rule, we don't scream over the past, you know, can't cry it over spilled milk. I mean, whatever is done is done. However, the Rebbe says, I'm surprised why you retracted. Because why were you worried about? They worried about that maybe some of the people that would address will not really speak the way they intend them to speak. I guess if it takes place in that shul, they would have to invite different people, and some of them, they're not sure that they're going to speak what they expect them to. So, first of all, so the Rebbe says like this, the idea that people are invited to a gathering of Chabad, that limits the speaker to a great measure. So, he already is not going to really say anything that he has to say if he's invited to a Chabad event, basically. But in addition to that, the Rebbe says, after the event, you don't have to publish a stenographic report from the Fabrengen. In other words, you don't have to bring down every word that everybody said, and you have the right, as is the custom, that you emphasize and that you stand out those points that fitting the festival and the spirit of the festival. So it's not going to be a lasting, whether even if they say some things that you're not happy with, you don't need to necessarily print it. Now, the fact that at the time of the Fabrengen itself, sometimes you hear things from the side. The Rebbe said, Tzad Dilumazeh, people will say things from the other side. So what's the advice? So the Rebbe gives them advice, practical advice, how to overcome that you might have a speaker that may say something not appropriate or negative to the idea. So the Rebbe says, you always invite a speaker who you are sure, and you make up with him that he is going to be fixing if there might come up something that needs to be corrected, and he should be basically the last speaker. The main thing is, it is that the last speaker should be the proper speaker. Because at the end of the day, the impression is left and is taken home to those who are at the Fabrengen, at the Garden. When they leave with the words of the last speaker, what they heard last at the end. So the Rebbe basically was saying to them, you don't have to worry because you can correct that. You should have done it in the big Bes Medrash. And if you're worried about, get somebody to correct it and have the last speaker be the one that you can trust that he's going to say the right things. But as I said before, we cannot yell on what has already bygones, on the past. And there, Rebbe says, even if it's not going to be like Gamzel L'toyva, that this is for the good, at least it'll be Kol Mada Ovid Rachmon L'tavavid, whatever Hashem does is for the good. Which means the Rebbe explains there is two expressions when things didn't work in the Talmud, it didn't work the way it should be. Sometimes we say, oh, this is also for the good. So that means on a higher level that it's not, that it's actually for the good, which means it turned out that it's better. So even if it's not going to be better, at least minimally it's going to be whatever Hashem does is for the good, which means at least there's not going to be any negative consequences. As the known distinction, the Rebbe discusses it in some sichas elsewhere, that the Gamzel L'toyva means that this item itself, this is for the good, is for the good. As example for this is the story with Nochem Ish Gamzu. Nochem was called Ish Gamzu because he always said Gamzu L'toyva. and they switched over the gold that he was bringing to the king. Some of the thieves, they turned it into earth, and then it made great miracles. So then it turns out that the sand itself, miracles took place with it. So it's Gamzu L'Toyva, that was good for the good. So it was actually good that they switched it to the earth, because it accomplished more than maybe gold would do. The king has plenty of gold, but this helped the king, so his mission was successful, Nachamish Gamzu. And when we just say the other expression of the Talmud, Kol Ma Da'ovid, whatever it does is for the good, it's only that the results are good, although the item itself is not good. Like the story, the example of the Gemara is with Rabbi Akiva. He came to the city, they didn't let him in because they closed the doors already, so he had to stay in the field, and eventually the bandits, they attacked the city. So it turns out that not going into the city, and then eventually the animals ate up, the lion ate up his donkey, and he lost his light. So the loss that he suffered, while it was a loss, was but for the good. Kol ma da'ovid, so that the death of the donkey and the chicken and the extinction of the light, that wasn't good itself. That was a loss. But the results was saving his life. So Rebbe says, okay, you know, maybe it itself wasn't good, but at least it's Gamze L'Toyva for the good. The results are okay. So
could you repeat that phrase in Hebrew?
Which one? Kol ma da'ovid rachmono l'tav ovid. Whatever God does is for the good. It's actually a Aramaic word. Kol ma da'ovid. In Hebrew would be kol ma da'oso. Rachmono is the merciful one, reference to Hashem. Whatever the merciful one does is l'toiv oso oisa. Does it for the good. It's in Aramaic. Number four, the Rebbe says, if you have a report from the Fabrengen of Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tamas, for sure you will send a copy over here. Number five, the Rebbe says, I'm surprised that you don't mention the results of your Fabrengen, some good decisions as far as setting up site times for the study of the revealed and the hidden part of Torah, strengthening in the matters instituted by the master of this joy, which means the previous Rebbe, who we're celebrating Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tamas, his redemption. So his takonas, you didn't spring there, and the participation in his institution in a fitting way for each one. So the Rebbe always wanted practical decisions and then follow-ups on the decisions. So the Rebbe says you're not mentioning anything about it, which I would expect basically that you should come out of this Fabrengen with good decisions for setting up time for Torah study, strengthening in the ways, in the things that the Bala Simcha, the previous Rebbe, instituted, and further participating in his institution. And the Rebbe judges them favorably, because the Rebbe says perhaps you left it out of your letter, even though it was actually there. And if so, it will surely come in the following letter. Number six, and you also notice the Rebbe pushes everybody to write to him, because there has to be accountability. It seems like if you write to the Rebbe, then you're going to be accountable for it. So the Rebbe pushes everybody to write. Number six, the Rebbe says, I'm also interested to know, had it been printed in the newspapers about the Fabrengen of Yud Beis Tamuz. The Rebbe is also very much for publicizing it, making sure people know about it, people can come. And how it went through and what was the contents of the speeches, etc. Rebbe's interest. So on top of, the Rebbe says, if you have a detailed, if you have a report, you'll send it. But the Rebbe specifically, and you see from the Rebbe's questions that he wants it to be in the newspaper, and that he wants that the people should be talking about it. Now, they number seven there isn't over here, so now there's number eight. Some of the numbers they miss out over here because the Rebbe sometimes, first of all, some things are personal, and sometimes the Rebbe gave him some rebuke, which is maybe not fitting for the public consumption. I don't know. But the Rebbe has sometimes pretty strong words also when the Rebbe wanted, you know, to the people get things done. I don't know. I'm just speculating and I don't have no idea what. But it jumps from six to eight. There's no seven over here. The Rebbe says they had an idea, a suggestion to perhaps publish a publication, some sort of a newsletter or a monthly sort of a yarchin, they call it. And they conclude that they still don't have an editor, etc. So the Rebbe says, before you find a fitting person for this, so we cannot imagine what is the expense, how much it would cost, and therefore it's difficult for me to give an opinion about it. But in any event, when you start off, this leaflet needs to be in a way that you don't have to publish it for a certain date. Whether you have material or you don't have, which means that the time that it gets published should not be too close all the time. And it's only if you have enough material for this newsletter or for this pamphlet, and therefore, and the Rebbe, there's some blotted out, and therefore, this, as a beginning, the fact, if it is true that you write in your letter that to publicize the name of the activists will increase more wisdom, like there is an expression, kinas sofrim tar bechokhma, the envy of the scribes increases the wisdom because the people try to better and understand, to compete, like in a good way. He's saying publicizing the activists will cause more people to want to become active, and it will increase more involvement, more wisdom, as the Rebbe quotes from the saying of our sages. Now the Rebbe puts in the parentheses, he says, but on the other hand, sometimes mentioning somebody's name can cause some people to be upset, and sometimes it might offend some people, their imaginary honor, because if you're not on it, you know, like there's the saying, rebuke one person, you make one enemy, give one person honor, you make a lot of enemies. Anybody else? So, and Rebbe says, so, you know, it's kind of a balance over here by publicizing the name of the activists, and then some people might be offended by it, but the Rebbe says, then the Rebbe says it is fitting that from time to time there should be some sort of a publication with the most essential news, but it should not say the time in which the next newsletter will appear. That's one thing. There, and the Rebbe says there's another calculation that needs to be taken into account. What is of more value? Is it more to publicize these events in a newspaper? Now, the people that read the newspaper, the circulation reaches many thousands. And amongst them, there are such which will not read your pamphlet that you publish by itself. So, is it still better? Maybe it's better to put it in a newspaper. Or maybe it's better to publish your own booklet, your own pamphlet. But then there is actually we should worry. Maybe the newspapers aren't going to want to publicize any news in which you have your own, basically your own news atlas. You're publishing your own self, so they may not want to publish it. So the Rebbe says you have to weigh if this is going to conflict with being able to advertise and your events in the newspapers, which can reach more people than your own publication may be able to reach. Number nine, the Rebbe goes on. The Rebbe says, I was delighted. I had great pleasure. It was the pleasure in me that you said that you had a broadcast on the radio about Yud Beis Tamuz. And, you know, you see all the work that Chabad does with publicity. The Rebbe started it all up over there to make it public and everything else. It's so telling to see the seeds that the Rebbe planted, the mindset the Rebbe planted by the shluchim, by the people. I mean, they weren't used to it. I mean, most of the people were humble and sitting in their corner and not, and the Rebbe is pushing them, go out and publicize and utilize all the tools that it's at our disposal to do. The Rebbe says it would be fitting that in the group that organizes and sort of checks out these broadcasts, one of the leadership of the general Agudas Chabad, this is Tzir Agudas Chabad, the Rebbe wants the general, they should also be there for many reasons. It should be their involvement too. The Rebbe says for many reasons, and there's certainly a lot of reasons, but maybe one of the reasons is the Rebbe wants to avoid from anybody claiming all the credit for themselves, even within the organizations, to give everybody a little bit of a foothold over there. That's just my own commentary. And number 10, Yud, finally. The Rebbe says, I was enjoyed seeing that your letter is signed by two people. And I have already said this in the past to one of the other institutions in our Holy Land, that in general matter, my request is that at least two people should sign it so that this will prevent later on from questions and contradictions, because if you have two people sign it, so that's already like a testimony. And rather than one person writes only his impressions and things like that, the Rebbe then, and the Rebbe blesses them with success in their holy, in their work. Amazing how the Rebbe takes every with insight, with purity of, and just making sure that every aspect should be run on the most beneficial and successful way possible. And here you see how the Rebbe is involved in every single of these details. I find this really amazing.